Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
Hi, everybody. My name's Maria. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. Seeing a lot of familiar flip faces tonight. It's really wonderful. I live in Las Vegas now, but I used to live in Los Angeles. So I see a lot of familiar people. So it's great. And welcome to anyone who's new or who feels like they're new or is just coming back. This program saved my life. I wouldn't be here right now if it were not for OA. You know, it says in the reading, I'm going to talk about how and why I stay abstinent, but I would be dead if it wasn't for OA. And I'll tell you more about that. A lot of people meet me and they say things like, oh, you were heavier. I just can't picture it. Well, I used to be around 40 or 50 pounds heavier than I am right now. When I came into OA, I could not stop eating. If my eyes were open, food was going into my mouth. I could not stop. I was busted out of my clothes. I could not sleep on my stomach. The heartburn was so bad from all the food I was ingesting. And I did all the tricks. So, you know, I'll start from when I was young. I grew up in a really trauma-ridden, complex, dysfunctional family. It was not a good place to be. It was dark. It was unhappy. One bad thing after another went down and I felt in the way and unwanted. And I was pretty much, you know, my mom was trying to keep it together. She was working full time, going to school also when I was 9 years old. And so I pretty much ended up parked in front of the television. And the place of greatest solace for me was in front of the television with food. That I knew how to do, you know. And I got most of my information about life from television. And I started to get very fat by the time I was 9. I was the fattest kid at school. And I hated myself for being so fat. And the more I hated myself for being fat, the more I ate to cover the feelings of self-hate from being fat. And the fatter I got, the more I hated myself, the more I ate. And, you know, I went to see it. My dad took me to a nutritionist. He was very embarrassed by my weight. And I remember I was 9 years old. I saw this, somebody had to do like a full physical of me. And then I saw this nutritionist and I lost like 10 pounds with the nutritionist. And then I gained 20. And that was my first diet at the age of 9. And, you know, honestly, it never got better. It never got better. I just couldn't help myself when it came to food. It's what's that saying? I think it's out of the Big Book. I was defenseless against it. I just was, you know, the way a heroin addict will shoot themselves up, I was that way with food. I didn't know how to sit through a feeling. I didn't know how to be angry. I didn't know how to be sad. I didn't know how to be bored. Food was the answer to all those things for me. When I do step work now in my life, a lot of the times I have to go back to that time period because that's where a lot of my defects of character were formed. in how I cope and operate with life. And I was just talking to someone today about this kind of view I have of the world that kind of came from that time period. So it's interesting. In junior high, I started getting into restricting, and it worked a little bit. You know, like if I ate too much one day, I wasn't allowed to have dinner the next. And I did that a little bit through high school. And then when I was about 15 or 16, I discovered bulimia. And I thought it was like a get out of jail free card. Like I was really getting away with something because I could eat whatever I wanted and then just puke it up. And here we go. And, you know, one of my, when I look back, there are some things that the disease of compulsive eating stole from my life that I will never experience again. Opportunities I will never have again. And, you know, I'm of Italian descent and my grandparents took me to Italy when I was 16. And we spent time with family, and all I remember is like what we were eating, and I couldn't stop. And I remember just like being in the bathrooms, vomiting and hoping nobody could hear it. And, you know, what a way to go through this wonderful opportunity in Europe, you know? So, I was also really suicidal this whole time. I was really suicidal. I just felt like I didn't have much to live for. And when I was 18, I went away to college. Drinking's also part of my story. I'm not really here to talk about that, but I want to share with you about my last night of drinking because it led me to get to OA. I was out and I decided, I got drunk and I was upset because a boyfriend of mine didn't show up. And so I tried to commit suicide. I took a bottle of pills. But I want to say one of the major reasons that I took that bottle of pills was because I could not stand my fight with food anymore. Every single day, I would wake up and I would say, today's the day. Last night I ate too much. So today's the day of the diet. And I'm not going to binge anymore. I'm not going to do that stuff with food anymore. Today's the day. And to start it off, I'm not eating anything for breakfast. I'm going to have a healthy lunch. I'll probably have a salad. And then I would take the bus to the other campus for school and I'd have to walk past the cafeteria and I would never make it. I could never make it. I would go right into that cafeteria and it would start all over again. I hated myself for that. I had no respect for myself. I was disgusted with myself and I couldn't stop. I just could not stop. So when I tried to commit suicide, you know, I ended up going to treatment for alcoholism. But while I was there, I put on an additional 25 pounds in a 5-week time period. I got to be good friends with the chef. I was there to put like whatever they needed help putting out, like especially the desserts. I was very good at putting those out on the table. And so, you know, I just got so bloated and just was busting out with the food. And while I was there, I was talking to somebody and I said, you know, I think I have a problem with food. And they were like, yeah, we noticed. And, they said, there's a program called Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, there is. And they said, yeah, it helps people with food. And I said, well, what the hell do you do? You just not eat? I mean, AA, you put the drink down. What do you do with compulsive eating? And they said, oh, they suggest, you know, you eat 3 meals a day. And, you know, I came in back in 1992, and that was the suggestion. When I got out of treatment, I started going to meetings. And my first OA meeting was very weird. It's really strange. There was like this lady with her head down on the table and I was trying to ask her questions and she was like, you know, and it was just weird. And I thought, that's all right. I'm going to try another one. And I did. And, you know, I was living in back in the Bronx at this time and I started going to meetings in Manhattan and I got abstinent on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And they had some great meetings there. And I heard people talking about food the way I thought about food. And it was like the disgusting, you know, these thoughts that embarrassed me so tremendously. were coming out of other people's mouths in a group setting. And that shame started to lift from me. Because when I was actively compulsive eating and bulimic, no matter what people said to me, oh, Maria, so nice to see you, I would think, no, no, you don't know me. I have this huge skeleton because I binge and purge. You don't know me. You don't. I would think this in my head. And so it was miraculous for me to be in a setting where I could openly talk about my struggle with this disease of compulsive eating. And I did all the things they said. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. I gave service. And I started to work the steps. The OA step workbook saved me, saved my life, absolutely saved my life. I began to do the steps, turn them over to my sponsor. And I found that my food started to clean itself up as I was doing this. Now, when I came in, my food was like 3 banquets a day. It was huge meals. And as I went through the step work, I became willing to release some food and refine what I was eating and look at healthier ways of eating. But I was not able to attack that on my first day in OA. It sort of was an evolutionary process that happened over a period of time. And I think was a result of my admitting my powerlessness, having a spiritual awakening by connecting with a higher power, and then being willing to turn my life over to the care of God as I understand God.
10 minutes.
Thank you so much. I've by the grace of God, I've been abstinent 31 years, and it isn't like just magic. You know, I go to meetings, I give service, I have a sponsor, I have a home group. And I continue to work the steps. You know, I do a daily 10 step today. And I really try to take the program to heart. The first thing I learned how to do in OA was to turn something over to a power greater than myself. And the first thing I had to turn over to something greater than myself was my food. And I needed to start believing that a higher power could help me with food choices and amounts. And that sounded a little like a tall order to me when I got to OA. And I know we say act as if, sometimes I like to say have suspension of disbelief, because I tried everything else from the time I was 9 years old and went on my first diet, lost 10 pounds, gained 20. I did all the diets and all the things and all the people, read all the magazine articles and tried all these crazy things to try and lose weight. Not one of them worked. And so I thought, all right, you know, I'll try it. And I have experienced the gift of neutrality around food contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. You know, I have to say that for me, this recovery is very daily. It's very daily. I spoke at a workshop on, you know, abstinence through the holidays a couple weeks ago. And then after I spoke at the workshop, I became very depressed about the holidays. And I was like, this is not supposed to happen. I spoke at the workshop, I put the money in the spiritual bank, and I'm supposed to like fly through the holidays like, you know, like a little angel, so happy and you know, just loving everything about the holidays. And I felt like gypped. And so I'm having to go back to that third step, you know, and how I'm staying abstinent today, how I'm staying abstinent today. The first thing I learned to turn over was my food. Now I'm really learning to turn over my life. As I said before, like there were things that I lost, opportunities and experiences, because I, you know, was, you know, had my head in a bag of something or was, you know, puking, and I missed out on a lot in life. And I don't want to miss another day because I'm wrapped up with my head in this disease. And I can do that even in recovery. I can keep my life small. I can be, you know, have an anorexic life in recovery. So, you know, I wanted to read something out of the OA 12 and 12 on step 3, because this is how I'm staying abstinent today. If we want to live free of the killing disease of compulsive eating, we accept help without reservation from a power greater than ourselves and begin to take the actions that will allow us to receive that help. We now say yes to this power, deciding from here on to follow spiritual guidance in making every decision. Note we have said this step is simple. We have not said it is easy. It is not easy because for every one of us, this decision means we must now adopt a new and unfamiliar way of thinking and acting on life. From now on, we let go of our preconceived notions about what is right for us. When faced with choices, we earnestly seek guidance from our higher power. And when that guidance comes, we act on it. Our new way of life begins with a willingness to adopt a whole new attitude about weight control, body image, and eating. So in my life today, my parents are getting very older. They're becoming more obstinate and difficult. They have difficulties, health problems. They're zero interest in my solutions or assistance or whatever. I have things that aren't the way that I'd like them to be. And I wake up and I think, oh, you know, why isn't it this way? And I rail against the world. And then I have to remember to turn my will and my life over to a higher power. Now, I'd like to sit here and say I do this because I have such a huge spiritual, magnanimous personality. But the truth at the end of the day is I don't want to go back to the food. I don't want to. And the more I'm in discontent and hatred of things and anxiety and railing against the world, the closer I am to going back to the food. And so what do I have to do? I have to adopt new ways of thinking. Yuck, yuck. I don't want to do that. I don't want to change. I would like what I would like to have happen, fall in my lap and not have to work for it. That's what I would like. But instead, I get up, I meditate. I keep the little meditational books by where I sit. I read them. I ask my higher power to help me. And I start taking those little actions that I've learned over the years that help me stay abstinent and aligned with my higher power one day at a time. For me now in my life, I feel like my higher power has some things that she wants me to do while I'm still here on earth. And I need to align my will with my higher power's will. Thank you so much. That's two. Okay. Align my will with my higher power's will on a daily basis so that I can achieve those things that I was put here to do. And for me, that's number one, not being in the food. And then I have the opportunity or the chance to engage in these other things that keep me spiritually aligned in the third step and doing what I feel that I was put here to do. So I guess the last thing I want to say is, you know, I've been through some dark times in my recovery. And if there's one thing I can do, it's like pick up that 500-pound phone, call somebody. Even if I can't even make the call, send a text. Use one of those tools, the writing, the meetings, the sponsorship, to help me move into that new way of thinking and acting. And I still have to take those actions today so that I don't fall back into those repeated habits and patterns that I developed while I was compulsively eating and active in the bulimia. So I think that's about my time. I just want to express major gratitude for everybody here tonight. You're helping me stay abstinent, and it's so great to see the familiar faces and really excited to hear some people I've never heard before share. So thank you for letting me speak.